Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everybody. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. As you know from watching the show, we love entrepreneurs. We love people that build businesses. And it really doesn't matter what kind of business they're building, as long as they're a great entrepreneur, somebody with great vision, somebody with a passion to be the best that they possibly can be, we cover it. And we had an opportunity to interview Mr. Rich Godshall. It came across our desk just a few weeks ago. And when you look up Rich and you look what he's doing, he's the owner and managing partner at the Ostroff Godshall Injury and Accident Lawyers Firm. And what really caught our attention, when you go to the website and you read about Rich, the first thing that stands out is he says, "I'm a competitor. I hate to lose." He says that his clients and their families know they can rely on him and the entire team to outwork the opposition. And when we saw that, we said, listen, he puts it out there. It's on the website. We need to bring Rich on the show to talk about the firm, talk about what he's doing. We love that competitive spirit. So, Rich, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Andy, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We love the passion. We love what you're doing. We have so many questions about entrepreneurship and what you're doing at the firm. But before we get started, tell us about the Ostroff Godshall Injury and Accident Lawyers Firm, and then we're going to get into it.
Sure. So Ostroff Godshall, we're a personal injury firm. We are Pennsylvania's only local personal injury law firm. We have offices throughout the state of Pennsylvania. All we do is personal injury law. We do nothing else. We're not a marketing firm. We're not a referral firm. We handle our own cases. We try our own cases. And, you know, that's the vision that we build upon. You know, the idea and what we do is there are no accidents. You know, we're deterrence lawyers. You know, it's our job to figure out why a family's going through something and not only get that family some relief, but also part of our job is to make sure it doesn't happen to another family.
Yeah, I love it so much. And of course, you're a lecturer, you're an author. You've authored so many articles on numerous topics, you know, for everything from punitive, you know, damages to surveillance law and liability of owners and general contractors and the like. And of course, you know, you're also an award-winning attorney. You get, you know, placed on the super lawyer list all the time. Let's talk about a little bit. What types of clients reach out to you and they say, "Hey, Rich, we need representation"?
Sure. So we have an interesting client base. We have the construction worker that is out of work for a couple of years that is looking at lawsuit as a way just to continue to feed his family. You know, we have the single mom who's trying to support her kids and can't work. You know, we have families where there's a death in the family. And then we also have, you know, someone that is maybe injured in a car crash, a more typical situation, and has a particular injury that we're trying to get some recovery for.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And of course, you have an amazing team of the lawyers over there, and you have incredible staff members as well. Your firm and your practice is burgeoning at the seams. How do you think about your team? How do you think about the other attorneys and the staff members that are assisting to make sure that your clients get the best representation available?
Yeah, so sure. The way we're set up is a little different than a lot of our other personal injury firms. I try to put people where their personality traits kind of match their job set. So what I mean by that is, you know, I have some more senior lawyers that aren't what you would consider as more typical litigators. So they're involved in my pre-lit department, right? they're helping the clients the first couple months of a case, making sure they get the right medical treatment, making the paperwork's in order. I have some case managers that aren't yet paralegals that are helping in that part of the process. And then when the case matures to actual litigation or court, I have another subset of lawyers that are involved, and they're more of your stereotypical, more aggressive, want to be in court, than more senior paralegals that are with them. So the way we're set up is something were to happen to you, I have a particular department that will kind of see you through the process, and it's a different department as that case progresses.
Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, as your firm grows, I'm going to sort of liken it to a company or a sure. corporation. You know, people start a company, they're entrepreneurs, they love what they're doing, and all of a sudden they start growing, and all of a sudden they start hiring, and all of a sudden it becomes this massive conglomerate. And then they're busy managing the conglomerate versus actually doing what brought them to it at the beginning, which is the passion and the love for the thing that they started the business for. So with your burgeoning practice, do you still get to practice law yourself, or are you busy managing the entire office?
Sure. And that's, look, that juggling is what I'm still learning, right? But the way I'm setting up this firm and the way I look at it is, at least as of right now in the foreseeable future, next 10 years, let's say, I am still, in my opinion, the best litigator we have, right? I still belong in trial. So I'm setting up this firm with executives that can handle the business. So we're putting scalability in place, right? Those executives have, they have metrics, they have goals, and they're running other parts of the firm that fit their personality, fit their subset, which allows me to stay on trial. So what we're building here really is a team, a hierarchical team, that when it comes to me, there's a particular reason administratively it's with me. Otherwise, other folks are doing things that allow me to try the biggest cases we have in the office. And as we grow, that still is the vision, I think, that grows us the most productively and still does the most for our clients. And yeah. it fits what I want to do. I mean, I want to be a trial lawyer that runs a law firm, that owns a law firm, but I want to do it in a way that still allows me to be the trial lawyer.
Yeah, I love it, Rich. It's really interesting. Let's talk about hiring. So you have someone that comes in, they want to join the firm. And you have two types of people. One that great background, great pedigree, great experience, but you don't really see that passion as a competitor. And then you have another attorney that maybe is a little more green, but is passionate to be the best they can be. Do you have a preference on which kind that you want to bring in, or do you only bring on the people that have the passion and the experience and background, and everybody else you leave by the side of the road?
No, well, passion is mandatory, right? But you can have a passionate lawyer that does better motion practice, right? That's better behind the scenes, that's maybe better with clients. And if that person fits, I have a role for them in kind of what we build here, right? Maybe they're more on the pre-litigation side. Maybe they're more in the motions department. If I have a passionate, even green person that really wants to be in court and you see it in his or her eyes, I have that person too. So it goes back to what I said before. It's not one size fits all. If you have some passion, you have a belief in yourself and belief in what we do, the way we're set up as a firm, we have a place for you. And that's kind of what we're looking at. I want the best motion writer. I want the best case manager. I want the best trial lawyer. I want someone with passion. And with passion, I'll fit your skill set into kind of what we do as a team.
Yeah, it's interesting. And of course, in your line of work, your clients, because of the process, I would imagine sometimes get exasperated. Sometimes it's just, you know, they're not used to this sort of overwhelming process. How do you and your team provide the words of wisdom and the management of the circumstances to make sure that your clients, you know, come out of this feeling good about the process and feeling good about the experience?
Yeah, and you hit it. I mean, that's the hardest part of my job is the process, right? This, even the cleanest case takes a series of months, if not a couple of years. And the system's simply not set up to support the individual that was injured, right? The system's set up to protect the bigger pieces in that problem. So the way you solve it is simple. You need to communicate. You need to explain from the beginning, lay out time frames, lay out timelines. And you know, you need to keep the client involved not on a peripheral standpoint, but in the actual strategy of the case, right? So have a case now where a family lost their mom. And, you know, it's a particular family that they want to know what's going on. And they understand it's going to be a 24, 30 month process. And just the way to keep them engaged and hopeful is to share with them, to show them what you're doing, to explain to them what you're learning about what happened, and also to get to the point where they understand what you're trying to do and how that's going to save or help the next family. And once you have them believing in that, they're in for the long haul. They really are.
Yeah. And of course, speaking of long haul, you started your career working with, I'm going to call them the actual insurance carriers themselves. And you have an interesting story about what happened to your dad, who suffered a fall at work as a union carpenter. And it made you start thinking about maybe you should go on sort of, I'll call it the other side of things, you know. So let's talk about that. That's an interesting story.
Yeah. So my dad was hurt when I was in law school. And I remember, still remember visiting lawyers with him. I knew nothing about nothing. And it was a stressful process. I mean, these lawyers were, in my opinion, just, they lacked approachability. They spoke above my dad. And we had to go through two or three lawyers before we actually found someone that could help us in a very serious life-altering case. So it taught me a lot. And then out of school, I did find myself with a defense firm. Just more, you're young, and that's kind of the job that was open. But through that process, within the first 3 to 5 years of my career, as I learned how to be a lawyer, and reflecting back on the family aspect of what we went through, it was clear to me that at first opportunity, I wanted to be on this side. I wanted to be the guy helping the people that were hurt.
Yeah, it's interesting, Rich. Of course, your firm bills itself as Pennsylvania's only local law firm. And when we think about it, and we think about entrepreneurship, we think about entrepreneurism, about running a business. The people that watch the show, Rich, they know that we always talk about the process. And when you have clients, you have to set the expectations properly, and you have to put them in the position to win. How important at your firm is it to set the process from the beginning correctly, set the expectations of your clients properly so that they know what's about to happen in this process?
Yeah, when you're a good trial lawyer, you build a case from Z to A, right? Not from A to Z. You know, an inexperienced lawyer, a lazy lawyer, a firm that doesn't care when they're building it A to Z. So you explain to the client where we're going to be at X date, how we're going to get there, and then you work backwards to get there. And as they see things unfolding along that process that you've already told them about 2, 4, 6, 8 months earlier, they understand and they start to trust what you're doing.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, I was just making a note, you know, while you were speaking, because I never really heard it spoken like that in the entrepreneurial world, where you build a case from Z to A instead of building a case from A to Z. I mean, that's really interesting. For the entrepreneurs watching the show, think about that. Think about what the end game is with your clients, with your customers, where they're going to end up. And then you work backwards from there, putting together a process to make sure that when they get to the final endpoint, they understand the process to get there, and they're happy that not only that they've gotten there, but they've been through the process. I mean, I love that, Rich. I'm going to steal that one from you. Maybe that'll be the name of your TED Talk. That's really good. Let's talk about juggling, because you're an entrepreneur. You're juggling everything. I mean, obviously, you love litigation. You love the process. You love managing the firm as well. When you have so many cases coming in, how do you structure the firm so that every single case gets the highest and best, not only Z to A experience, but those clients get placed with the right people at the right time, at the right moment, for the right part of the process?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? I mean, it's people of my type of personality, but a lot of people listening to this talk, it's, you know, the A personality where you want to control everything. So what I am learning and what I'm getting better at is trusting, right? You put a process in place, you then have to trust that that process works. So some of the things we do are what type of injury we're dealing with, what type of value is the case, where is the case along the spectrum? And based on those things, I'm plugging in certain individuals where I think their skill set fits that part of the case. And if the process is working and it's scalable, you either see it working and you continue, or you see where it's not working and you fix it.
Yeah, I love it, Rich. And I've heard you say it a couple times already during the interview, what I'm learning. In other words, you believe in constant and never-ending improvement. We want to talk about what you do in the athletic endeavor as well and how that relates to what you do as a business person. But how important is this constant and never-ending improvement? Because it seems to me like you've got this passion to learn and you're continuing learning all the time.
Yeah, no, look, there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence. And, I go into every room thinking I'm the least prepared, right? Thinking the guy next to me knows more than me, thinking the lawyer next to me is a better lawyer than me. And I kind of, everything I do, I go in with the mindset of the person next to me had more of a benefit, right? He or she is smarter. They have more success. I don't go into any type of situation where I think I'm looked at as the one that should be winning. And I think if you look at it that way in a humble way, you can work harder and never be in a situation where the person next to you out-strategized you, outworked you. And you got to be willing to lose, right? I mean, I'm not a fan of winning, but I very, very much don't like to lose. And I think if you look at it that way, but you are willing to lose, I think you'd be successful.
Yeah, it's very interesting because in business, as an entrepreneur, one of the things that separates those companies sometimes from the companies that don't make it is endurance, is they keep on going and they hit a brick wall, they go through the wall, around the wall, through it, and they just bust it open. In your line of work, I mean, as a trial attorney, sometimes the overall endurance factor is very, very important. And of course, you, for those people that don't know, I mean, you're nationally ranked in the CrossFit, games endeavor as well. What did you take from that, endurance that you need in CrossFit and bringing it into your experience as a trial lawyer as well?
Yeah. So I actually own a small CrossFit gym as well. And outside work is kind of my passion. And I compete locally, and I put that word compete in quotes. But yeah, CrossFit's an outlet for me. And it's a situation where you're constantly varying what you do, and the workouts are unpredictable and unexpected, and you really can't prepare for them, except that you have to be generally prepared overall. And I just think that that culture fits my personality. You stand on a floor with guys and girls that are probably younger than you and better shaped than you, but you're willing to put yourself out there. I mean, I think that's what a trial lawyer is. And I think if you have that trait and that ability to put yourself out there, right, and lose and learn and sometimes win, I think you can be successful.
Yeah, I love it. And of course, you have some great case studies. One that caught our attention, Rich, was one of your clients was made a $1,000 offer. And you had a $450,000 verdict where they were originally offered $1,000. I mean, I know you don't want to get into the details of it, but what are the components of something like that? What's the feeling when you get done with a trial where you know that your client was offered $1,000 and here you are at the end of the trial and they receive $450,000?
Yeah, it's empowering for the client, right? And it's part of that endurance process you talked about. I mean, I have clients that simply aren't treated fairly. And when you bring them through the process and you show them why they're not treated fairly, they become a different person at trial, right? They're now empowered. They get it. And they're able to present in a way with me behind them that's very powerful. and it results in jury verdicts that are bigger than the case that's before them, right? And that's the goal of what we do. And it's when that happens, you have a client for life, you know, you have a friend for life.
That's awesome, Rich. And of course, it's such a great way to think about business like you do, because you always put the client first in everything you do. Now, let's talk about our entrepreneurship, my favorite subject, entrepreneurism. And you have this mass experience, you're building this burgeoning practice. You have personal experiences with what happened with your father during college that really sort of framed the way in which you look at the world. For the younger entrepreneurs watching the show, and we spoke about it, maybe they're hitting a tough time. Maybe they're hitting a brick wall. Maybe they can't get through that wall like we spoke about. What type of advice can you share to the younger entrepreneurs watching the show? They're trying to build something, but they keep hitting that wall, and they seem to have a little bit of a maybe freeze in the frame moment where they don't know what to do and don't know how to keep on pushing.
Yeah, I think that it goes back to having processes in place, right? And if something's not working, maybe it's not the result that's the problem. Maybe it's somewhere with your processes. And I think if you can trust them and continue to build on them, find folks that can help you, you know, whether it's a strategic coach, whether it's a mastermind group. But someone has likely hit that same wall, and I don't think hitting the wall means that there's a failure or that something's not working. See, you got to reset the process.
Interesting. Reset the process, and you have to know your strengths and weaknesses. So I have one final question for you. It's a little bit of a curveball. We think about CrossFit. You probably have one of the CrossFit endeavors that you really love and you can't wait for. And then you have one that maybe is a little weaker than the others that you need to work on. Let's talk about that just for a second. And let's talk about your favorite and your least favorite CrossFit moments.
Sure. It's a little bit of a curveball. But I'll answer it this way. So when you do CrossFit, you don't know what the next day is, right? So if you do a competition, they release what the workout is at that time. So you're only as good as your weakest piece. And I think it goes back to your question about business, right? Like, if I'm constantly hiding from what I'm not good at, it's eventually going to catch up to you. So you have to be competent in areas where you're weak. And that competency in areas that you're weak, I think, puts you in play to strive in areas where you're able to.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I think it's not running away from weaknesses. I think that's the way to answer that question.
I love it. You answer the question the way you want to answer it as a litigation attorney would. I love it so much. Listen, Rich, this has been fantastic to have you on the show. I've really learned a lot. I'm going to bring you back on the show because I think we should talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship the next time I have you on. But what you're doing, you know, at the Ostroff Gottschall Injury Accident Lawyers, you know, firm is amazing. I mean, you build a case from Z to A. And I love that. I'm going to steal that from you for my future entrepreneur interviews that I'm going to have on the show. And Rich, thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
No, it was my pleasure, man. Thank you.